we should appreciate the artists that we have for who they are, especially if they're trying not to be like what used to work. You know, you're trying to do this thing, you're trying to pave the way, and that's really, really difficult. So that the next singers who come after me can also just be themselves. You know what I mean?
Last week, we heard about Robin's story, trying to break free from glass ceilings despite others assuming that he was born with a silver spoon. This week, we continue our conversation about music, life, and growing up. This is part two of Robin Rivera's story, and this is Miles Asks Again. I'm Miles, and here's a drink for all the tough times to coming into your own, but most especially the excitement of tomorrow. Here's a drink to life. I love how you just say it with so much laughter and you just laugh about it. I don't even know if you're being sarcastic. You know what I mean?
I laugh about it because I've seen it even before I wanted to get into it. I was backstage a lot and everyone just thought I was like an introverted kid playing my Game Boy. But when I started liking the music industry, it wasn't just about playing the guitar and singing. It was more of like, how can I come to a singer who wants to make music? How can I help that person? And then it evolved into like, how do you earn from all of this? And then I heard all the things that were terrible about it. And I saw it at such a young age. And I was like, I'm going to avoid it. You know, you think you could do better than the system and you're not.
Yeah.
So it happened to me. And I was just like, wow, you can't be mad at that because you knew it was going to happen.
Mm.
So that's why I laugh. I refuse to kiss ass now. I used to. I wouldn't do it with figurative tongue, but some people do that. Like all out, you know what I mean? Open mouth. God, figuratively have seen that. That makes sense. At the most, like made best of someone's ass. So it's still cheek to cheek. It's still honest and respectful.
There's still some dignity there.
Yeah, there's still some dignity to those lips. But that's a terrible image.
Yeah.
But now I don't want to do it anymore because it's weird. I find it strange that I have to kiss someone's ass to make it when I know that I can write a song and they can't. You know what I mean?
Do people ever tell you things like your music is not for the Philippines?
Yeah, that's the only comment I get. That is the only comment I get. You're very international. Doesn't sound like it's from the Philippines. You should do this in America. Like, none of it is, wow, that was a good song. That's why when people tell me that they like my song, I get very like, oh, when I say thank you, I really fucking mean it. Because no one says that. They're always like, oh yeah, it kind of, it sounds international. Which to me sounds like, we're not going to push you because you sound white.
I've always thought that it was like a compliment when someone says that.
I think it's a great compliment, but it also means we're not going to push you. It also means we don't know how to market you in this OPM world. That's what it also means. So yeah, it means it's a good song. It'll work in any other place, except we're not going to make it work.
It's kind of messed up though. But
yeah,
how do you come up with the song? Like, is it the riff, the hook?
It's always the riff with me first because I doodle a lot on the guitar. And then I guess it's probably the hook for everything. I come up with at least one part of the hook and then it goes backwards. So one line from the hook all the way to finishing the chorus, all the way to the verses, and then last minute stuff and stuff and stuff. But it takes a long time because I spend so much time on like the music part, which no one really listens to.
What? I love the music part.
But like I try to hide things in it, see if anyone listens, and no one's told me anything yet.
So how do you like come up with the songs?
I arrange the whole song with the instruments and then I listen to it in the car and come up with melodies. Like your dad got a counter. If you play a solo, it doesn't matter what you play. The only thing that matters is the last note you hit. You can play all the wrong notes, but if you hit that last note right, it's pretty much jazz.
Jazz, yeah.
That's the fun part about writing the music. That's why I like doing the music part first. You just like, no rules. Don't give yourself like constrictions, really. Just have fun, play something. If you like it, then that should be the most important thing. If you like what you're playing, build on that.
So like the song that you released this week.
Yeah.
It's such a complex
piece. I didn't want to use the electric guitar with that one.
Huh.
I wanted it to be folksy. I wanted my drummer who mixed it. He was like, dude, my friend plays the cello. I go, this would be the song.
Yeah.
And I didn't even tell him what to play. I just said, here, you go. And he heard it for the first time and he played it. I was like, man, that sounds deep. And then he mixed it the way he did. And I enjoyed the way he mixed that cello.
Yeah, it's like one of those, you know, it's in a minor, but then the beat is happy. So you don't know
it
how to feel.
It changed the key a lot. Hey, sometimes I do it on purpose, but sometimes you play it on accident. Mm. They share some chords, but when you play the scale, it's different. I didn't realize I changed the key. That's why my notes are wrong. So when I do things with my vocal harmonizer, I always put it wrong when I do this song because I forget which key I'm playing in.
And when you're writing, how do you know when the song is
when
finished?
When I've written all the lyrics, really.
You never go back to like nitpick or like re-record or mix or...
So what I do is I don't want to like just give it in. Like even the first time I come up with a melody with my voice, I want to warm it up a lot. So this song that I'm writing, the chorus is a little high for me. So the first three times I recorded the chorus, they sounded really bad. So I had to stretch it. Like in the car, I'll sing it. So another theory with that is the reason why all my songs sound the way they do lyrics-wise is because I've been driving in EDSA all my life. And EDSA's been a pain in my ass for 30 years. So when I moved to the States where everything is driving and everything is mountains and desert and sometimes you get a lake or a beach, the scenery it changes every 10 minutes. And I've been driving for 4 hours, you know, every other week.
Yeah.
So the driving experience in the States is very, very different. So the words and how I'm singing is also very different. And I noticed that, you know, when you drive with your friends at least 3 hours to like Tagaytay or something or Baguio, you're listening to music. Normally, you're listening to like American music. You know, you're listening to like Tom Petty or like the Beatles or something. And it all sounds, there's always like this driving beat. And a lot of these producers always say like, listen to your song in the car and see if the drive is well. And I understand that from living in Manila in traffic, in the same road and like you get lost and you're just not in a good mood when you're on the road as compared to driving every day in the States and it's like a breather sometimes.
Oh, so that's so interesting. So like all the songs that you know you listen to it and you're like, this is a good road trip song.
That's a whole
it's
new
it's meant to
for
be
me.
One.
So the new song that I'm writing, it's the most simple song I've ever written because a lot of my songs I think have way too much in it. So I tried to think a lot less and a lot more simple. But the driving, all that driving, all the 4 hour drivings from Vegas and LA, I was really trying to write the melody, at the very least the melody. I got the chorus in the car, which was interesting.
And then once you're pretty much happy with the song, like who would be that big of an influence that would make you feel like, yeah, this is the best song ever, or just like totally destroy how you feel about the song?
I wouldn't show it to my parents.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't want to hear that it's a bad song from them. I don't know why. It's not a bad thing. It's not shame or anything. It's just like, I know I don't sound like you. I don't know how... If I had a kid, then he was like, I want you to hear the song. And it didn't sound like me. I don't know how I would feel. You know what I mean? It'd be like, okay. That's where you want to go. Yeah. My dad, his comment to me whenever I play him a song that I wrote, he always tells me to add strings. So without him knowing, I hope he listens to this one because this has the most strings. He'll be the happiest.
And if people were like, oh, you guys should totally do an album, would you do one with
your
parents?
Yeah, for sure. I actually produced the only Martin and Pops album in record history. They never did an album together after all this time. And when they did, they asked me to produce it. And
okay.
My dad was giving me shit for it.
Why?
I know how to talk to my parents. I've seen my mom and dad in the studios and no one tells them otherwise because my dad will do the whole song one take, he's done. That's my dad, right? My mom is a perfectionist. She'll hit every single note until she gets it right and all that. So my mom doesn't care. She's open to new things.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he needs his reverb. And you know the reverb that I'm talking about? The one that sounds like the Pope in... in the Vatican.
So like the biggest hall.
Yeah, like the biggest hall ever. Using a karaoke mic. Like that's how he sounds. So that's the reverb my dad likes. And when he records, he turns the reverb on, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted him to sing, I being the producer, wanted him to sing the song extremely soft. Like you're kissing, like not kissing the mic, but you're up close to it. You're essentially whispering. I was trying to direct Martin Rivera. That's how I'm going to say it. I was directing Martin Rivera on my first album. That's not a Robin Rivera album. He was looking at me like, what? You're going to turn off my reverb? And my friend who was producing with me, he goes, dude, what are you telling Martin Rivera? I go, dude, that's my dad. He was like, you don't talk to him like that. I go, man, I'll do it. So anyway, I made him sing with the reverb. And when he left, I told my friend, I want to hear the whole thing without his reverb. And he goes, okay. So because my dad wasn't there anymore. So he bounced the track and he sent it to everyone. There's no reverb on his voice. We forgot to turn it on.
Oh,
so my
God.
Dad at 3 in the morning texts me. And it's a long message. Like,
oh,
I'm
shit.
In trouble, right? Texts me and he goes, you know, when it starts with, you know, it's not good. You know, I normally have that reverb.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, the whole conversation was, I need that because I work with it and blah, 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 blah. I get it, right? I go, okay, I'm sorry, Dad. I'll tell my friend tomorrow. He goes, I already called him.
Oh my God. So it was just like a by the
as
way.
As a by the way, just in case you didn't know, Mr. First Time Producer. I, Martin Rivera of 30 years in the OPM business. My friend is like, your dad called me at 3 in the morning. I wasn't in the studio. I was home.
Was it fun though? Would you rather produce or would you rather perform?
I would rather produce. I'm not that much to see when I perform. I like to sing, I like to play, but I don't really like to move. So I'm not that much fun to watch. But I would absolutely love working with other people to make their song happen, you know what I mean? Or I write a song and someone sings it. That'd be cool.
And with everything that you've been putting out lately, do people even know that you're in the States?
A bunch of them do, but not everybody does. Like I did a Magic 89.9 interview, I think 2 weeks ago. And they just asked me, they were like, hey man, we haven't had you on the show for a while. Can you come on? And they were like, is it okay that it's 8 a.m.? I'm like, yeah, that's like 5 p.m. for me. Where are you? It wasn't what they were expecting. Like people wouldn't really know. So.
Oh, really? So no one knows.
All that combined with the last 10 years, I just wanted to try it in the States for a bit. Just to see it. I'm not planning to get like uber successful here. It's more of experience of trying to live a life independent and all that. My mind opened up from what Manila and the music scene in Manila is as well, because music wise and just, you know, just the attitude of being around other people who just want to play for the sake of playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure that must have been such a change because you pretty much grew up in ABS, no?
Yes, very true.
Like the hallways where they never changed the photos of all the artists?
No, I know. I think I was in the shoot for one of those ones for my parents. I was there when the pictures were new.
And now they're all faded.
I was like, guys, you guys are like 20 years older than these pictures.
So I know that you've been moving around a lot, but where are you
now? I'm the one who had to move in Las Vegas because my roommate in California needed my room. And he's the manager of the thing. So he needed to use my room because his parents, who are like in the 80s, are having a hard time living in their house. So they're going to move with him and all this family thing with him. So I was like, how do you say no to that? No, your parents can't move here? In the sick?
So you pretty much got kicked out. I mean, I don't think he was asking you.
But it's not like I couldn't pay rent or anything. Everyone's like, what happened to you? I go, relax, guys. You say no to this in the middle of a pandemic.
But so people were asking you if you're that much of a starving
artist? Yeah, I was like, oh man, I had to move out of Hollywood. I can use that line now. Rent was too much. But I really missed the area that I lived in there. Because it was like all the new restaurants, so no franchises. All these up-and-coming restaurants. Gosh, it was so good. Just for food. Artsy-fartsy side of Hollywood. So there's a north, west, east, and a south one. You know, amen.
So it's pretty much the hipster area.
This is actually it.
Where all the artists come together and bounce ideas off of each other.
There are parks where people just sit and play the guitar. Every other corner is a 7-Eleven and a comedy bar. There are so many comedy bars.
Comedy bars. Hmm.
My mom and dad, when they talk to me, this it's like they think I lived very near the riots when they were happening. So my mom was like, "You gotta come home." I go, "Why? To what?" And she's like, "Cause she thought that like right outside of my apartment, there was a fire and there's looting." I go, "Mom, I'm so far from all the malls. No one's gonna come rob this area. I promise you." And they're just scared of that. I'm like, you know, and these were all chilling out now. Like, my mom video calls me, and sometimes I'm in the car and I'm like, "Oh, she's gonna get mad because I'm outside." Oh, man. I'm just going to the grocery and you're in a grocery. I go, "Oh my gosh, I need to eat, you know. I need to get the food."
So your parents check up on you pretty often. That's
they
good.
Do. They do. They think that I'm sleeping in the streets or something.
Or they forget that you're like a full-ass grown man.
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think they know that I'm 30. It's just crazy. The times are just weird. COVID doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's harder with all this. Mm-hmm. I feel like anything can happen in the States. In Manila, when something bad happens, you're like, "Okay, I get this is why it's happening," and you learn how to do it there. In the States, things just happen out of nowhere. It's such a big thing, police brutality and all that, racism. It hasn't happened to me, which is very, very, very good so far. But people are like telling, Filipinos are telling me that it gets kind of bad sometimes. I've been with forest fires. That's freaking scary. I almost drove into a bush of fire.
Scary.
Yeah. I went to some of the protests. Ones a while back, a few months ago, just to see what it was like.
Seeing all the photos, it looked pretty intense. How was it?
It was an experience, for sure. It wasn't violent, if that's what everyone is thinking when I first say that. We protested in front of the city hall in California. Peaceful. You know, they got to say what they wanted. The police didn't bother anybody. We walked around the city that we were in, and cars were like honking, like joining. People in their balconies were shouting with us. They weren't throwing things at us. Everybody had signs and shirts. And then we got to city hall and we were in front of the police. They didn't do anything.
That's good.
We were just standing there, like, making sure we didn't go past them. But there was no tear gas. They didn't even wear anything but just the mask that they needed to wear. They were looters during these protests. And my mom was very, very scared because on the news, you know, they're breaking stores and grabbing all the things they can. They go to, like, Target and Best Buy and grab all the TVs. And they don't show the quiet side of how big California is.
And now that you're in Vegas, what's been happening? Like, how's the job hunt going?
Oh, it's hard. So I learned that in the States, college life is very important because I didn't finish college. And I went to Benilde. So it's not even in the States. It's so hard to get a regular job without saying that you graduated college. They want you to, like, have learned some computer thing, some basic business and all that. They don't want to have to spoon-feed you. In Las Vegas, at least. I wanted to be a bud tender. So I was applying
for
those jobs.
That's so awesome.
Right? And one of the requirements is you need to have gone to, like, cannabis school for X amount of hours. You need to have been already working as a bud tender for at least 12 months. And I'm like, man, I'm neither of those.
Wait. There's a cannabis school?
Yes, there's a cannabis college.
So, like, what? They teach you all the different strains and
stuff? Yes,
and
also business about it. Ooh. So, yeah, it teaches you how much THC is in a certain strain and if it can, like, combine with another strain to make those hybrid ones. It teaches you, like, how to market it and all that. Like, it's business, but that's the only thing it's about. How to grow, too. I took some side jobs in California with that, so that was fun. I know how to I don't know how to grow yet. I've been listening in on how they grow. It's such a tough, expensive thing to do, but this better be like a job because if it's a hobby, it's gonna take so long. It takes
true.
6 months.
True. Damn,
and so you
long.
Like you need to not mess it up.
Yeah. So with the whole thing in the past year, what would you say is the biggest thing or skill that you learned?
How to cook just to survive. You know.
Yeah, that's all you
I know because I want these people to know that I progressed.
It wasn't
like a, it's an uneventful pandemic for me. I didn't know how to cook before. So
at all? Like not even a hard boiled egg?
Yeah, that's very true. Now I know how to make a hard boiled egg. Like even if I...
Can you make a soft boiled egg?
Those are the ones I like. Those are the ones I like more than the hard. I don't like hard boiled eggs. But even like a regular fried egg, terrible. Just like all it is laying it there, right? I couldn't even make it look like yellow and white, you know? So I've taught myself how to cook. And now that I'm here in Vegas, my brother's Yaya, who used to be my freaking Yaya when I was 5, she's still here and she's taking care of my brother. But now I'm asking her stuff like, how do you cook this? She's like, why are you asking? I'm like, because you cook really well and I should have asked you before. I regret it. So now she's teaching me how to cook. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to learn how to cook like a Yaya. I'm going to have it all.
That's the best.
She's like, no, put more salt. I'm like, wait, what? Put more salt.
That's so cute that she's like talking to you as if you're still 5.
I know. And then I cooked something and she knew exactly what I did wrong. So we were eating it. She goes, you know why it's like this? And she explained to me why it was kind of pink. And I was like, this is so cool. I don't have to go to any kind of school. She's going to teach me for free.
But it's not the first time you live alone though, right?
I had an apartment in the fort that I'm renting out now. So I lived there for a bit, but it's so near my mom's house. It's my first time living in another country, that's for sure.
So is it more like you being independent for the first time or like growing up?
Can yeah, that's a good way that? To put it. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I mean like this is probably the first time I took care of myself in a really I moved 3 times in 1 year. So
wow.
I figured out a way to like logistically move my life quickly. I'm enjoying the lifestyle here where I gotta do everything. Mm. I didn't know how to do a lot of things when I got here. So this pandemic really shook it up a bit. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm the same person as I was in 2019.
For sure. But with everything that happened, right, did you ever think of moving back here or coming back here and then waiting COVID out and then going back there again?
I'm thinking about doing the latter plan that you said because I'm trying to find work here and it's really difficult. If I don't find a job by the end of the month, I'm probably going to go back home and then wait it out until things get better because I did absolutely nothing this whole trip. I'm trying to write a song now. I haven't written a song in 4 years.
What? But you've been releasing
all the songs that I'm releasing. I've written them in the last 10 years. They're all songs that were mixed badly by a label that were just left behind in some Spotify thing. And I didn't make my Spotify account. The labels did, so I can't even keep track of my old songs. So before I went to the States, I re-recorded 12 of those old songs from the last 30 songs that I wrote.
Wow.
I wanted it to come out the way I wanted it to sound. I changed some of the arrangements. And that's what's coming out every single month since January. Mm. But I'm trying to write a new song now. I started writing it 2 weeks ago. And I'm like almost done with it. And if I finish it early enough, I will put that in the month of October, which should be fun.
Well, what a perfect segue. So I guess now I can ask you for your plug. Where can these people find you? How can they learn more about you? Where do they listen to your music? Take it away.
Well, my stage name is no longer Robin Rivera. It's just Rivera. I didn't want it to be some weird name that didn't make sense to me. So I just chose to take away Robin because no one likes Robin. Everyone likes Batman. So now that I'm trying to be more aggressive and assertive with my music and I'm pushing myself, I need to keep track of that. So I decided to come up with the name Just Rivera so you can find the newer versions of my music and the newer songs. So to follow me on everything, it's still Robin Rivera. Facebook is Robin Rivera Music. A song comes out every single month. If you don't follow me on Spotify, which is Just Rivera, you can listen to all the songs that I've released since January on robinrivera.com. You can also download it there for free. I made it free, so you come back. We'll see. Before I change my mind, it's free. But every single month, I'll be releasing new music. Whether it's
collaboration or new song or something that I wanted to try in a different way, there's always going to be new music coming for me every single month at robinnivera.com or on my Spotify, which is just Nivera.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this for free, because I have like absolutely nothing to pay you with.
I'm very happy with this.
I really wish we could have added more and shared our actual 3-hour long conversation. But for those who don't already know it, Rob is one of the funniest, most self-deprecating, and humblest people out there. Please check him out. This dude's music is such a breath of fresh air from our generation, especially. Like he said, it's Nivera on Spotify or his website, robinnivera.com. As always, follow, subscribe, like, share Miles Asks Again on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or slip a note on Miles Asks Again on Instagram. And coming up is another story of soul searching and deep self-work. So in the meantime, be brave and be kind.